continue looking at the subject of worship. We've looked at the fact that we should worship the Lord every single day. Last few weeks, we've been looking at congregational worship, which is a very special time, a time of extraordinary importance. It is a time that we ought to treasure. It is a time of tremendous privilege, tremendous opportunity. We began last week looking at some of the components of congregational worship, some of the things that are included in worship. And again, in all of these things, that's what we're to do. We are to worship. None of these things are there just to fill a void or to fill up time. We are to worship the Lord in all of these things. We see that congregational worship is a time of singing. We looked at that last week. We saw many of the things that are involved in that, which means that each individual is responsible to come into the house of God with a spirit and an attitude that is conducive to singing in a way that worships the Lord. We see that prayer is another element of worship. And again, prayer is speaking to God, listening to God, and in prayer we are to worship, we are to draw near to God. And that's perhaps the best way to examine whether or not we are worshiping the Lord in our singing or in our praying, and that is, are we drawing closer to the Lord? Because in all worship, you must draw closer to God. You must enter into the presence of the Lord. So there's singing, there's prayer. Again, we call on individuals to publicly pray. During that time, everyone ought to be praying. It's not so much that we listen to the one who is praying, but we ourselves ought to be praying. And again, everything we do is to be as one. When we sing, it's to be as one voice. It's to be in the spirit of unity. When we pray, it is to be in one voice and a spirit of unity. We saw also last week that worship involves thanksgiving. That means we must come into the house of God aware that He has blessed us, thankful for that, thankful for who He is. Thanksgiving means we must come in a spirit of humility. It means also that we come in a spirit of contentment. Discontent people will never be thankful people. So we have to come in a spirit of contentment. Again, this is our individual responsibilities. And the only way that we can offer thanksgiving in one voice is that we all come with a spirit of thanksgiving. So it's so important that we do not allow the events of a day to distract us from thanking the Lord. In Psalm 100, in verse 4, we are told how that we are to enter into His gates. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So we're to enter into the house of God with thanksgiving. Again, there is a proper way to enter the house of the Lord, and that way, again, is to have a spirit and attitude that is conducive to worship. And if we enter with a right attitude, I believe there's also a proper way to leave the house of God. Then we will also leave in a proper manner, and we will behave in a proper manner. Worship involves praise. Again, we see in Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This, again, requires that each one of us come with a spirit and an attitude that is conducive to praise. So all of this tells us that how we live during the day is going to have a great impact upon how we enter the house of God. How we live today has a great impact on our worship. Really, it determines whether or not we are able to worship, whether or not we're truly going to worship the Lord. So we can't separate our daily lives from our so-called church lives. You can't separate those two. They are connected. So we're to come into the house of God. We're to come, each one of us, individually, with a spirit and an attitude that is going to enable us to worship God. We can certainly come in a spirit and an attitude where we're unable to worship the Lord. We can go through the motions, but we're unable to worship God. Congregational worship also were not only times of praise and thanksgiving and prayer and singing, but they were times of bringing the tithes and the offerings. And in whatever manner, and it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't matter to me if you put a box here in the front, you put a box in the back, you pass a plate, and that doesn't matter to me. I know it matters to some. It doesn't matter to me. But what does matter is in whatever manner the tithes and offerings are received, it is part of worship. And it is to be done as a part of worship. It is to be done in a spirit of worship. Tithes and offerings, we read in Leviticus 27 and verse 30, are to be laid aside for the Lord. We do that during the week. We lay them aside for the Lord. We also read throughout the Old Testament that it is to be the first fruits of our increase. That is, it is the first thing that we lay aside. We don't lay aside anything else before what we lay aside for the Lord. And we see this in again all through the Old Testament, particularly Proverbs 3 and verse 9. And when we come and bring our tithes and our offerings, we are to do so with the realization that God has blessed us, that God is the giver of all. And we come and we give our tithes and offerings, and we do so with a spirit of praise. We do so with a spirit of thanks. We do so with a desire to honor God, to glorify God. And may I say this, when you give your tithes and offerings, you have given it. It is no longer yours. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. And we need to remember this. Again, all of this is to be carried on in a spirit of one. It's all to be carried on in a spirit of unity. The financial matters of a church should not just fall on a few. Every individual has a responsibility to bring a tithe and offering. Even a little child, if they get money, they are to bring a tithe and an offering. And this is true of every individual. I believe it's true of lost men as well. I believe God will bless a lost person who gives unto the Lord. And again, this requires that each individual come into the house of God with a spirit that is conducive to giving our very best and giving first of all to the Lord. Also, congregational worship in the Scriptures, there's many Old Testament examples, there's many New Testament examples. We're not going to look at those for time's sake, but congregational worship were times of preaching. God's word. And they were times of listening, hearing, listening, and receiving God's word. So we want to consider these things tonight. Preaching is the part of congregational worship where God speaks to man. All through the Bible, great stress, great emphasis is placed upon the preaching of God's word, upon the hearing, upon the listening. And there is a difference between hearing and listening. Upon the hearing and the listening and the receiving of the preached word of God. So it is a part of congregational worship. God uses the preached word in many ways. He uses the preached word of God to encourage his people in the service of the Lord. He uses the preached word of God to strengthen. To strengthen faith. To strengthen resolve. And most of all, to strengthen the inner man. God uses the preached word to strengthen our inner man. He uses the preached word to comfort. He uses the preached word to heal the spiritually diseased. And spiritual disease is far more serious than physical disease. He uses the preached word to revive sluggish hearts. Wherever there has been a revival throughout the history, it has been through the preaching of God's word. It has been through the hearing, the listening, and the receiving of God's word. So he uses the preached word to revive sluggish hearts. He uses the preached word to impart zeal and to impart zeal and passion in God's service. He uses the preached word to humble the hearts of the proud. He uses the preached word of God to enlighten his people, to guide his people, to direct his people in his will and in his ways. God uses the preached word to protect his people. He uses the preached word to warn his people of dangers, to warn his people of pitfalls along the way. He uses the preached word to rebuke. He uses the preached word to correct error. And again, God can do all of this with one individual in one message. God uses the preached word to rebuke and to correct error. He uses the preached word of God to help his people move forward spiritually, to cause them to grow spiritually. He also uses the preached word to cause God's people to mark and measure where they are spiritually. God uses the preached word, and congregational worship is a time to hear and to listen and to receive the word of God. The preacher must take heed. He must give diligent attention to the preaching of God's word. He must not in any way think lightly of it. He must not in any way treat it in a frivolous manner. He must not treat in a frivolous manner his responsibility to preach the word of God. He is to be diligent. He is to be diligent in study. He is to be diligent in preparation. He is to be mentally and spiritually prepared to preach God's word. And you have every right to expect him to be mentally and spiritually prepared to preach God's word. It is not his job to just give some random thoughts. It is his responsibility to preach. To preach what God has given him, to preach what God has laid upon his heart, and he is to prepare again by careful and diligent study. And this will cause the message to be organized. It will cause the message to be orderly. It will cause the message to have a definite point. This is a very serious matter. Now, the people who come to hear preaching have the right and should know that they are going to hear from a man who is right with God. They are going to hear from a man who has heard from God. They are going to hear from a man who has spent time in the presence of God. And they come to hear a man, and they have every right to expect him to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. You see, when the Word of God is preached by someone who has made proper preparation, you hear it one time. He's heard it all through the week. God has preached it to him to greater depth than you will ever hear it from the man who has preached it. This is part of God laying the message on the heart. He begins to have a thought. He begins to study that thought. And God is preaching it to him the entire time, causing him to get right. And that's, preachers many times will say, I preach this to myself as much as anyone else. And there's some truth in that. But the real truth is, the message has already been preached to the preacher by God himself over and over and over. And this is what causes him to be prepared. This is what causes him, once he has the message, this is why we read of the burden of the word of the Lord. When God lays the message upon the preacher's heart, and then when God develops that thought, and it's not the preacher that develops the thought, it's God that develops the thought. The burden of the word of the Lord, that message becomes a burden. That message weighs heavy upon that preacher until he gets to the point where he has to preach it or die. He has to preach because of this burden that's upon his heart. So congregational worship includes the preaching of God's word. And again, that must never be taken lightly. Congregational worship in the scriptures were times of listening. Times of listening and receiving the word of God. Notice in the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. Again, you and I have been coming to church long enough to know that when we get here, we're going to pray, we're going to sing, we're going to pray some more. The Word of God is going to be preached. We know that's how it happens. Nothing wrong with that. That's very scriptural. We know that we are going to hear the preaching of God's word. I would not go to a church. I would not waste my time if I was not sure that I was going to hear the preaching of God's word. But we've all been going to church long enough, we know. We know that God's word is going to be read, and we ought to listen. And we ought to receive it just as it's read. And God's word is going to be declared. Now notice in James chapter 1, familiar verses. Begin reading with verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So hearing is not enough. We have to hear, but hearing is not enough. Because if we're not a doer of the word, if we're just hearers only, we deceive our own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It'd be foolish to look in the mirror, see that you have food all over your face, and walk away without doing anything about it. It'd be foolish. Even more foolish to look into the mirror of God's word, see ourselves, and not do anything about it. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Again, not a forgetful hearer. We should not forget what we've heard. But a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Again, one of the means in which God speaks to his people is through the preaching of his word. God speaks. That means God has something to say. Unlike man, God not only speaks, he has something to say. And he has a reason for speaking it. And when God speaks, and whatever God says demands immediate attention, let every man be swift to hear. It demands immediate attention. It demands very, very careful attention. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear. So, when thou goest to the house of God, be ready to hear. That's what that says. When you go to the house of God, be ready to hear. Be more ready than to go through the motions in offering the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. But my point here is, when you go to the house of God, be more ready to hear. Be ready to hear what God is going to speak through his word. We read here in James 1 and verse 19, let every man be swift to hear. We're to be ready to hear. We are to be swift to hear. The Bible tells us that we are responsible. We are responsible to hear the word of God. And I am responsible for what I hear. I am responsible for what I do with what I hear. Now, most of us sitting here this evening have heard innumerable messages preached. And whether we realize it or not, we are responsible to do something with those messages. We are to be ready to hear. Jesus said in Mark 4 and verse 24, "Take heed what ye hear." Not just any kind of preaching is worth listening to. Take heed what you hear. Make sure that you are hearing the truth. Take heed. Give diligence to what you hear. Luke 8 and verse 18, Jesus said, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." Not only to what you hear, but take heed how you hear it. Take heed how you hear it. There are different kinds of hearers when it comes to the hearing of the Word of God. Jesus, of course, mentioned four types of hearers in the parable of the sower. There was the wayside hearer. There was the stony ground hearer. There was the thorny ground hearer. All of these heard, but they did not really receive the blessing. And then there was the good ground hearer, and the seed fell into the soil. Now, James, here in James chapter 1, condenses these four types of hearers down into two. Two ways of hearing the Word of God. He refers to hearers only. Hearers only. That covers the wayside hearer. That covers the stony ground hearer. That covers the thorny ground hearer. They are hearers only. They hear, but they do not really hear. They hear, but they do not listen. They hear, but they do not receive. They hear, but they do not receive the blessing of what they heard. It does not make an impact upon their lives. Hearers only. And then we see there are those here in James chapter 1 and verse 22 who are doers of the word. That is, they hear, and based upon what they have heard, they obey. The Word of God has had an impact. It has had an influence upon their life. So James takes these four types of hearers, condenses them into two. Jesus, notice in Matthew chapter 7, spoke of these same two types of hearers that James mentions here in James chapter 1. And he calls one of these hearers foolish. Again, that would be the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer. And he calls one wise. Notice Matthew 7, verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." The wise man building his house upon a rock. Remember the context. The context is hearing the Word of God. And the one who hears and obeys is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains are going to come. The floods are going to come. The winds are going to come. And they're all going to beat upon what we built. But the one who hears and the one who obeys what they have heard, and what they have heard has an impact upon them. The rains will come, the floods will come, the winds will come, but they have a foundation. Where do they get that foundation? Preach word. They built their house upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. God's word is going to be preached. You know that. And now each one has a responsibility to come and hear. Not just to hear, but to listen. Not just to listen, but to receive. And this is to be done as all aspects of worship. It is to be carried on as one. It's to be carried on as one. That is, everybody is hearing. Everybody is listening. Everybody is receiving. And they're doing so in a spirit of unity. That's part of worship. That's part of worship. Now, this requires several things. It requires, of course, that we, again, just like everything we do in worship, it requires that we come into the house of God with a spirit and an attitude that is conducive. Whether it be singing, praying, thanking, praising, giving, preaching. This preacher must come with a spirit and attitude that is conducive to preaching. And everyone must come with a spirit and attitude that is conducive to properly hearing the Word of God. This requires the giving of proper attention to the preaching of the Word. Proper attention shows respect. If someone is talking to you, and you turn your back and turn a deaf ear, that says, I am not interested in what you are saying. When one turns a deaf ear to the preaching of God's word, they are saying, and I'm assuming that the word, we're talking about word preached in truth, they are turning a deaf ear to what God says. Now, if you are talking to someone and they just turn and walk away and leave you there talking, you're going to be offended. And you're going to say, they have disrespected me. And that's true. That's true. But what about when we do not give proper attention to the preaching of God's word? We are either saying, I'm not interested in what God is saying. I don't want to hear it. Or we are just showing disrespect to what God says. There's a lot of disrespect shown to God in the house of worship. This can go from the way people dress in the house of worship. This can go from the attitudes they come in with. It can go to the way they hear the word of God. There's no end to it. But there is a lot of disrespect shown to God. We're to be doing just the opposite with worship. We're to be showing respect and honor to the Lord. If you give proper attention, if you are properly paying attention to the preaching of God's word, You are not wondering if your cell phone is going to ring. You're not wondering about that. You're not even thinking about it. And you cannot give proper attention by pulling out your cell phone from your purse or your pocket and check and see if you have any texts. How disrespectful. How disrespectful. And it's disrespectful to the preacher, but that's not the point. It's disrespectful to God. It's not worship. It's not worship. You cannot give proper attention by passing notes. That is not giving proper attention. What if you're talking to two people in a restaurant, and while you're talking to them, they're passing notes back and forth? What are you going to do? You're probably going to just stop talking. What's the point? They're not listening. And when people are passing notes in church, that is not giving proper attention. Passing a note to the husband or the wife, where do you want to eat after church? You're not worshiping God. You're not worshiping God at all. What if the preacher preaches at 4 o'clock? Your plans are shot. And really, the truth is, you cannot properly listen if you carry on a conversation with a person sitting next to you. Worse yet, the person sitting behind you, where you have to turn around and talk to them. That's not giving proper attention. Now, what would happen if the preacher pulled out his cell phone and looked at it during preaching, then put it back in his pocket? You may think, something's wrong with him. And then what if he pulled it out again and checked to see if he had text? And what if he started texting somebody? And what if he just, in the middle of preaching, just pulled out a piece of paper from his Bible, wrote a note, went down and handed it to Brother Rich? Or went over to Brother Don and started having a conversation? Well, he'll get back to preaching. He's got to talk to Brother Don first. He'll get back to preaching. He's got to pass a note to Brother Rich. You know what would happen. There would be a meeting after church. Pastor, something's wrong with you. We need to know what the problem is. This isn't right. We're not going to tolerate this. You have no right to be checking your cell phone while you're preaching. And he doesn't. You have no right to be texting someone while you're preaching. You have no right to be passing notes and talking to someone while you're preaching. We're not going to tolerate it. Yet, people do it every Sunday. Every Sunday evening and every Wednesday evening, it happens. What, you cannot give proper attention if you are giving more attention to what is going on around you than the preaching of God's Word. Sit in the back sometime. I don't mean that, but if you sit in the back and don't pay attention to the preaching, but just watch people, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what goes on in the house of God. You cannot be paying attention to everything else and pay attention to God's Word. You cannot give proper attention if you are wondering who is winning the ball game. See, it used to be that people would sit and they would wonder who's winning the game. They don't have to wonder anymore. Now they can pull out their phone and find out who
But that's not giving proper attention.
It shows that you have not given proper attention, that you have not really worshiped. As soon as the preaching is over, as soon as the last song is sung, you pull out the cell phone and you begin to discuss the score of the ball game and what's going on. You haven't worshiped at all. You say, well, worship is over. No, it's not. It's to continue through the day. But even if that were not so, the fact that you were so anxious to find out what was going on in a trivial sporting event shows that your mind was not upon the worship of God. You know, Baptists today, they criticize, and rightly so, on Super Bowl Sunday, all these churches, they have early church services, they have Super Bowl parties. Quit being hypocrites. Basically, you're upset because we're not doing it. Because the whole church service, you're wondering, the whole church, now I'm not speaking of everyone, I'm speaking of some. The whole church service, they're checking their phone to find out what's going on. What's the difference? I believe the person doing that is worse off than the person who just doesn't go. Because they're more hypocritical. And they make a sham of worship. They make a mockery of the worship of God. That's why I'm saying in the culture in which we live, we don't have to wonder anymore about what's going on. We can find out right there in church service. And many do. And many can't wait till the last amen is said to find these things out. And I know this upsets folks because a lot of folks, this is how they've been doing church their whole life. This is what it's been about their whole life. And you come along and tell them you're doing it wrong. They don't like that. They don't like that at all. Well, you don't know my heart. No, I don't. But I do not have enough sense to know that if you're checking all these, I mean, why don't you just bring your laptop in and play games? And there's people who do that also, not their laptop, but on their phone. Again, it makes a mockery of the worship of God. You cannot give proper attention if in your mind you are planning on what you are going to do after the services. Your mind is not on the preaching of God's word. Proper attention. This involves hearing. But again, you can hear without listening. People talk and you hear their voice, but you do not necessarily listen to their voice. So there's a difference between hearing and listening. And one can listen. My wife may say, Dan, you need to go out and clean the gutters today. I heard her. I listened. But I may not have cleaned the gutters. So you can hear and you can listen. I listened to every word that preacher said and then went out and did it my way. So there's hearing, there's listening, and there is receiving. This involves concentration. We have to concentrate. It's amazing. People can get so focused on a television set. Kids can be running all over the house like a bunch of wild Indians. And they don't even look up from the TV. Doesn't distract them a bit. Oh, I'm used to it. But in the house of God, all it takes is for somebody to ruffle some paper. And heads begin to turn. So easily distracted. Because people do not concentrate. To listen attentively, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. We need to be giving thoughtful reflection. We need to be thinking about what we're hearing, about what is being said. We need to make personal examination. It's not, oh, I wish so-and-so was here today to hear that. They needed that. We're to make personal examination. It's almost as if no one else is in the room. We're to be listening. We're to be that focused on hearing the Word of God. We're to make personal application. And I'm not talking about those with little children. I understand. Children need tended to, and I understand there's things that can happen. I understand. That's not what I'm talking about. We need to make personal application. There needs to be personal reception of God's Word and personal obedience. This all requires preparation of the heart to receive, to hear, and to listen to God's Word. You have every right to expect the preacher to come prepared to preach. Now, what if he was honest enough and came in Sunday morning and said, "I don't have anything today. Brother Jim, dismiss in prayer and we'll go home." Sunday night comes. I don't have anything today. I had a rough day. Things happened. And I just don't have anything for y'all today. Brother Art, dismiss in prayer. Come Wednesday night. "I'm sorry, but things haven't gotten any better in my life. Got this trial, got this burden, got this problem, and I don't have anything for you today." How long would you put up with it? Probably one service. But yet, people come into the house of God. "Well, Brother Dan, you've got to understand, I had a rough day today. And I'm not prepared to listen to what God has to say. I don't care what's happened during the day." Well, I care, but it should not interfere. We need to have preparation to come and listen to God's Word. Just as the preacher is to come prepared to preach, the hearers are to come prepared to listen. What if the preacher came just as prepared as the hearers? What would happen? And again, we're to come, we're to receive, hear and receive what God has for us. The preacher is to come prepared. The hearer is to come prepared. When does this preparation take place? Well, preachers, I hope, do not just throw something together on the way to church. "Well, we better say a quick prayer on the church. We're getting close. We need to prepare our hearts." It doesn't work that way. It takes days to prepare. Once Wednesday night service is over, it begins to prepare for Sunday. Probably has been preparing for Sunday before Wednesday. The same is true of preparing to hear the Word of God. We prepare through the week. We prepare by the way we live our lives. So this preparation takes place through the week. It involves praying. It involves praying for ourselves. It involves keeping our heart in a right condition. It involves praying that God would give the message to the preacher, not just on the way over here. "Oh Lord, give them the message." Well, I hope by the time you're driving on the way over here, the Lord's already done that. But you ought to be praying through the week. "Lord, give him the message. And give him the ability to deliver the message. And Lord, we pray that the message would go forth unhindered." This is what Paul is requesting in Ephesians 6, verses 19 and 20. This is what Paul is asking for in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Pray that the word of God have free course. This is to be done through the week. And it is to be done as one. That is, everyone ought to be praying through the week. "Keep my heart right so that I can be prepared to worship you on the Lord's day. Be with the preacher. Give him the message. Give him clarity of thought. Give him the ability to preach. And Lord, we pray that the word would have free course. And that ought to be done in a spirit of one. And it ought to be a spirit of unity. And you know what's going to happen? When you've prayed all week, you begin tonight to pray for Brother Mark on Sunday morning, that the Lord would give him the message, that God would give him the ability to preach the message, and that the Word of God would have free course. You know what's going to happen if you've prayed that all week long? You're going to come into the house of God. You're going to be excited. Because you've been praying. Something great's going to happen. You're going to come with a sense of great anticipation. I've been praying for this all week. I've been waiting for this all week. I can't wait. I can't wait. But for the most part, that's not how folks come in. Because they haven't prayed. Oh, they may have said a quickie, but they haven't, for the most part, really prayed. They come in like they're going to a gas chamber. Like they're walking their last few steps before they're going to be executed. They haven't prayed. Mark it down. They have not prayed. You're going to go to a ball game on Friday and you start getting hyped by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and by Friday you can't hardly wait. It should be so in the house of God. You've been anticipating it. You're going to be excited. You're going to be excited when the time comes. And you know what happens if you go to a ball game, you paid $50 to go to the game and they call it short. Oh, it's horrible. But if the preacher only preaches 15 minutes, that's the greatest service we've ever had. This is great. Now I've got 45 extra minutes to get down to the restaurant. And they're excited. I'm not speaking of everyone. Please don't misunderstand me. But this is the way many think. This preparation involves the preparation of the heart to receive the Word of God. So there is the preaching. There is the hearing. There is the listening. There is the receiving. And it's all a part of the worship service. It's all a part of congregational worship. And it is to be in the spirit of one. Even the preacher and the hearer is to be in the spirit of one. He has prepared, they have prepared. That's the spirit of one.